Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is Friday, December 20, 2019. A beautiful, sunny day here in Nashville. We had a heavy frost overnight, but it looks like we will warm up nicely today. Lots of things going on here at the house as we prepare for Christmas, trying out a new ciabatta recipe, practicing for Christmas Eve dinner. Since the passage of the Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund in the mid-1960s, Tennessee has been involved with grant-making to local governments for the purpose of buying parkland and building outdoor recreation facilities. Further, since the late 1980s, the state has administered the Local Parks and Recreation Fund, which comes from a small portion of the real estate transfer tax here in Tennessee. It is dedicated to parks acquisition and development. Together, this funding stream has had a large impact on the availability of recreation and parks services in Tennessee, and some would say has made a great contribution to the vitality of our state. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to sit down with Gerald Parrish, who heads up the Recreation Educational Services Division of the Department of Environment and Conservation. Gerald and his staff are responsible for administering these funding programs here in Tennessee. They are state government's link to city and county parks and recreation agencies. Gerald has been recognized by his peers as one of Tennessee's top professionals in parks and recreation and has been the recipient of the Fellow Award bestowed by the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association. Gerald and I had a wide-ranging discussion yesterday about his professional development and long career, as well as what's happening now in parks and recreation throughout the state. Of particular interest to me was our conversation about the governor's initiative focused on economically distressed Tennessee counties and the role that his agency is playing in assisting those communities. And so I hope you'll enjoy this interview with Gerald Parrish. Gerald Parrish, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Well, thank you, Mark. I'm glad to be here today.
Gerald, thank you for coming out today. I know I've wanted to get you here to talk with you, well, for the last couple of years, and our schedules just haven't linked up, but I'm glad you're finally here.
Well, thank you, Mark. The way our system is right now, you know, it's hard to plan. We have to plan so far ahead, and I apologize for not being able to come earlier, but we got a great opportunity today, so we've got
a nice, pretty day and close to being Christmas time, and so everybody's in good spirits. How about that?
That's correct. All right. That's correct.
Gerald, I want my audience to learn about you, and you have a 30 or 40-year career in the parks and recreation business. That I'm somewhat familiar with. I can't tell you that I know everything about it, certainly. But before we do that, it's kind of a tradition in this program to hear from my guests about, and the program is focused on parks and conservation sort of ideas. How in the world did you get inspired to be involved in this as a career to begin with?
Well, Mark, of course, I've always been involved in basketball and football and baseball when I was growing up and as a kid, and never really thought about parks and recreation as a lifetime job. And I was in the military in 1968 to 1971. And got out and went to work into a factory, and that was during a time when, you know, industry was going pretty good. But then about 3 or 4 years after I was there, we got laid off, had a big layoff in the company, and so I was home during unemployment, enjoying life. And my wife was working, making a good living, and so it was something of that nature. And then Madison County Parks and Recreation started a new park system in Madison County in about 1975, 76, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Right.
And I was coaching a youth baseball team out there, and the new director, the first one, was Pugh Bourne.
Oh, I remember Pugh.
Yeah,
exactly.
Pugh offered me a job, as a maintenance employee in the field at Madison County Parks and Recreation out at Polk Park. And, you know, you thought about it and you sent out there and listened to the kids and see that. And so he hired me. And so in, during that time, the first year or so, you know, I went from the maintenance employee to the maintenance director, right. And then from the maintenance director, I went to the program director, and then I went from program to assistant director. Well, when I got to the assistant director position, Pew asked me, says, do you want to go further in this field? Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, being a young kid, you look at it or a young person, I wasn't a kid anymore, but that at that point, I said, you know, this seems like to be a good thing. So he told me, and being a veteran, I had VA benefits to be able to go to college and then to pay me. So he said I needed to go to college. So I went back to school 10 years
Fantastic.
After I got out, 10 years after I got out of high school. So you can imagine how difficult,
yes,
that was for me, because, you know, old country boy, we just did enough to get out of school back in those days, and is that. But anyway, I started back to college, and I went out to Jackson State Community College in 1976, somewhere in that neighborhood, and started going to school went through school and then went over to Lamoth University, which is now Lamoth University of at Memphis. And when I was in high school, I think all I really wanted to do was get out of school where I could get a job and go on. Well, in 67, when I graduated, Vietnam was going, and so I went into the military and served my time, and then we came back, and so looking at the college aspect of it, I never was a good student in high school, but my wife inspired me to be a better student in life, and graduated from college on the dean's list and magnum cum laude.
So, what was your major?
My major was education,
okay,
and
okay.
Recreation as a minor.
Gotcha.
And I owe a lot of help to the teachers and the instructors there at Lambeth, and Dr. Pepper Bray and Jack Russell and Mr. Williams and people like that inspired me, Terry Sellers and people, Bill Kemp. Those are people that inspired me to move on into the educational part to get a better person to move on up.
And I'll bet that being actually involved with the Park and Recreation program, it was as augmented your schooling. So you were learning about what you were doing.
I was. And, yeah. And that was the good thing about it, is that, you know, back in the 70s, there wasn't a lot of money made in the parks and recreation
right.
field. And as today, there's a little bit difference. But,
right.
you know, I worked three jobs. Of course, my college was all paid for by Uncle Sam. But I worked three jobs to make ends meet. You know, I refereed basketball and football and baseball.
Right.
And then I had a full-time job, and we were building a house, raising a family, and all this at the same time. But, you know, the pushing from my wife, and the pushing from Pew Bourne helped me get where I'm at today. Now, you have breaks in life, and some of those breaks you make, and some of them that you just happen to fall in, being at the right spot at the right time. So I went on and was assistant director in Madison County and there for several years. And then in 88, maybe 89, somewhere in that neighborhood, there was a job opening in Brownsville-Haywood County for director. And I applied for that job and got that job. So I went to Brownsville.
And that would have been their first director.
That was my first director's
right.
job.
Because I can remember talking to those people about Parks and Rec
yeah.
back. The city of Brownsville had a program.
They did.
Right.
And Brownsville and Haywood County combined
I see.
together to provide a recreational apartment countywide.
That's terrific.
So it was.
Yeah.
And it was one of only five in the whole state that did that.
Right.
And it was a job that you look at and you sort of scratch your head and say, how in the world did you do things that you did when you've got working for two different governments?
Right.
And so that was a challenge. But anyway, I applied for the job. I got the job. I had the thing about it was the county had the department was a county department and a city department, but we didn't answer to neither one of the governments. We had a board of directors that had a conservation board that ran the department.
County conservation.
Five members, and they're the ones that interviewed me. They're the ones that hired me. Now I got my funding through both city and county government, for budget wise and that type of purposes. And Franklin Smith was the county mayor when I was there, and he was my age. We communicated real well. Mr. Jimmy Halbrook was a mayor in the city department. He was an older gentleman, and we worked really well together, and we brought a team together that would bring Brownsville Haywood County to the forefront in rural recreation.
How long were you there?
I was there. I got there. I think I was there for 13 or 14 years,
okay.
and then I came to. The state
government.
Right. But during those 13 to 14 years with Haywood County, you know, there's a lot of people that did a lot of great things for us. You know, we combined the highway department was a great asset of ours. They would do things that we would ask them to do. The utility departments that normal people don't have this opportunity. We had two utility departments in Brownsville. One was the Southwest and one was Brownsville Electric. We would go and ask them to help us with our lighting and our boom trucks and stuff like that. And I'll never forget one of the first, when I was first there, Franklin told me that I needed it. And he said I need to go out to the highway department and see if they can't help me. And he sort of laughed. He says, good luck, you know, like this ain't going to happen. So
yeah,
I went out
to. People will pitch in if you ask them.
They were.
Yeah.
And so. You go out and you tell them what you want them to do, but you can also tell them what you can help them do.
Okay.
And that became a great asset of ours, is that we were able to work with these people. I mean, we had in the early 90s, we had the big ice storms and stuff like that. Our department went over and we made coffee and we provided food for the utility people out in the fields, putting up power poles and stuff like that. That's not recreation business, but we were part of the community,
and
we did things like that, and we were able to use their services and save.
So, were you able to develop some new facilities and programs there in Brownsville, Haywood County?
We did. We put in a new swimming pool. When I first got,
I remember the old one that Brownsville had. They were needing a new pool.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. But when I first went over there, they had bought a piece of property and they were developing three baseball fields on it. And I mean, it was to the ground level and up when I first got there. So we did. We developed a three ball field complex there in Brownsville to take over the old ones. We still had the old ones for practice and things like that. While I was there, we did that. We did volunteer park. We did playgrounds in. We went to Douglas Community out in the area of Haywood County. Put a park in out there. We developed a softball complex while I was there. We did a soccer complex while I was there. We did a horse arena. So we expanded the footprint of the. Department.
Using school facilities for programming?
We did
programming
use school facilities for programming,
yeah.
and they used us. I mean, you know, like we took care of their football fields, but they let us use our basketball courts. We would take care of this, and they would let us use our baseball fields. They would do this, and we could use their tennis courts, and we had tennis courts and all that.
Right.
So we had great partnerships with everybody in the county. I'm talking about it was people don't believe what we done or what was done during our term over there, and I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm just saying that there was a lot of things that if people would listen to us today, or listen to me today that would be able to expand their usage because of the multi-agreements that we had with the schools and all these other departments and make things happen. I mean, it was all about if we had to go outside and get this done, we're going to have to pay for it from a vendor. Well, having been able to use the partnerships that we had, it didn't cost the taxpayers any more money. And that was a thing, you know, like the county commission, the budget committee, during the whole time I was there, they were very easy to work with. They knew that we were going to be good stewards of the money and do what was
make
right.
Make the most of it,
we didn't feverishly go out and if we have a surplus left at the end, we didn't feverishly go out and just buy stuff to be buying stuff. We turn the money back in, and then if I asked for a $20,000 increase next year or $100,000 increase next year, I got that increase.
Now, is that program still up and running?
It is. Brownsville? It is. Okay. It is. I left, like I said, in 2001 somewhere. It had to be 2000 because I've been with the state for 19 years.
All right.
I made a statement one time about state government to Joyce Hoyle and Ann Marshall, that if they ever went into regional areas for part-time consultants, holler at me one day if you need one somebody in West Tennessee. So it wasn't long after that, Ann called me one day and says, "Hey, I'm fixing to go back to work for Joyce. And she's agreed to do this regional thing." She said, "Would you be interested?" So I interviewed for the job and was surprisingly picked to do the job.
As a regional consultant.
I did the West Tennessee area from the Tennessee River back to the Mississippi River, from the Mississippi border to the Kentucky border. So I had 26 counties that I took care of.
Right.
And then we had a guy in Middle Tennessee that did counties. Then we had Ann was up in East Tennessee, and Ann was our program.
Ann Marshall, of course, we're speaking of.
And we
mentioned Joyce Hoyle, and I should say Joyce is deceased now, which was a shame.
True.
I'd love to have had the opportunity to interview her.
A wealth of knowledge.
But you know, when I started the Parks and Recreation Technical Advisory Service, I was the first person to do that, and I had 95 counties to do.
Yep.
Joyce took that job, was the next person to do that job after me. So she was there for a good long time. And she was able to develop it into that regional delivery program where you have people across the state that the local governments can call.
Yep.
And, you know, it's so interesting, you having sort of been on the ground floor of the building of a new department there in Brownsville, Haywood County, that would give you some insight into what the needs of those rural counties are.
You're correct in that, really, is that, you know, I tell people today, and even people when I was hiring back in them days, you will do nothing that I haven't done.
Right.
I've had my head stuck in commodes and septic tanks.
Right.
And I've had my nose up, you know, above ground and everything else, and been the director of a department. So I've seen it from the very beginning until the director in that type of stuff.
So how are we doing these days with local park and recreation programs in our rural counties?
Well, you know, of course, it's not like it used to be, is because there's dollars are shortchanged now. You know, and
tell me what you mean by that now.
Well, it's hard to get the infrastructure started with the park budgets and things of that nature. So, park departments are not like, there's not as many as there used to be. The ones that are there are you know, valuable to the citizens and that type of stuff. But a lot of our rural communities are doing without. A lot of them are having to do without because they don't have money to develop facilities and things of that nature.
Okay.
I think back in Joyce, I think it was 92, somewhere in that neighborhood, they came up with a local Parks and Recreation Fund for grants.
Right.
As you said earlier today, we talked about LWCF, and that's all that was back in your days.
Right.
And of course, you had a lot of money back in those days that we don't have.
It would be hot and cold. We'd have money some years and not much money the next year. But
we just got LWC Elf reauthorized, and our last, you know, I can remember when I was in Brownsville, Joyce called you on the phone and begged you to take a grant out because they had so much money they couldn't spend, and that. So it fell down to nothing for a couple of years, and then it came back. We are continuously moving up. Our last grant round, we had a little over $2 million. This time, we're going to have about $3.8 million, and it's going to go up.
Speaking of the Land and Water Conservation Fund, right, for those people might not know.
Our last, and then in '92, Joyce came up, and they came up with a great program, the Local Parks and Recreation Fund. Now, state government is not eligible to draw that out. It's only for local governments and city and county governments. It's not for 501(c)s or anything else. It's for local parks and recreation. So that come about, and
now this is funded by the real estate transfer tax.
Right. That's correct. Mm-hmm. We get X number of pennies for X number of dollars spent. Is basically what it is.
Right.
Some years it's been, like you said earlier, for LWCF, it's been very, very low. And some years it's been great. Our last grant round, counting LWCF and Recreation Trail Program money, which we get about $1.8 million a year from, and ILPR was close to, we granted out somewhere in the neighborhood about $16 million.
Wow.
So, you know, that's astronomical. That's $8 million a year, and that's, is that this year, I mean, the real estate transfer tax, land is being sold every day.
As the booming economy in Tennessee.
Yes, we have a booming economy right now, and it is growing immensely.
Let's take a step back a second, because we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. So What is your job today? What is your title? What are you responsible for?
I'm Joyce Hoyle. I'm the director. And I'm Mark Fraley. I'm the director for Recreation Education Services Division.
All right.
With the state of Tennessee and the Department of Environment Conservation.
Okay.
We have two branches in our division, and those branches are part task consultants.
All right.
Which we have five of those throughout the state. And then we have what we call our grants management system team, which is three of those. And we'll be three. We're doing an interview process right now. Okay. And they do the GA technical assistance stuff inside the department. And I mean by that is the contracts, the reimbursements, Title VI, and all the other paperwork inside of the department.
Right. Right.
Our PARTASH people that you founded, it's probably gone a little bit more broad-based. We're responsible for all the grants throughout the state, LPRF, RTP, and LWCF. We have inspections that we have to make. We do technical assistance with the city and county governments. We do some private consulting with 501(c)s and things of that nature and help them out. We do assessments now. We do strategic plans. We do planning for cities, economical distressed communities. Right now, we're doing some planning grants for those, things of that nature. So we're probably a little bit broader than what it was when you came aboard.
Definitely broader than I would, in years.
But I got a great staff that really enjoy their jobs. We have fun.
Fantastic.
And that's what this whole thing is.
You know, about. You mentioned just in passing that you do inspections.
Yes.
And I know exactly what you mean by that,
yeah.
But my listeners may not know.
Okay.
But you know, since like 1965, the state of Tennessee, together with the federal government, has been making grants to cities and counties to build park facilities.
That's correct.
And the contract that you all have with the federal government requires the state to occasionally make an inspection of each of the facilities that have been granted. So you have a tale of 45 years of parks that have been built.
We have probably over those 45 years, or since actually 50 years, if you want to look at it from the standpoint, 50 something years, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 2,000, 2,100 grants that we do. Each and every one of those grants, I've got to have an inspection every 5 years to make sure that the scope of the project is still there. We have to send a report in to
Department of Interior,
National Park Service.
Right.
This is, like I said, this is required every 5 years. So we try to do it on a 3-year basis, is that we do East Tennessee 1 year, Middle Tennessee 1 year, and West Tennessee another year, because there's no, we would spend, with the staff that I have, we would spend every day of the week on the road making inspections for that, to make that requirement. It is required by National Park Service for us to get our federal dollars.
Continue your eligibility for the program.
Eligibility for that. If we don't do that, we're not in compliance, and therefore we can't have, we have drawdown restrictions.
And I'll bet you, in my experience, is that you often find interesting things when you do those inspections.
You find some things that you don't want to find, is a better word for it.
Right.
There's things that were supposed to have been done, and we used 65, for instance. I think our first grant that we really gave out was in 66, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I'll just use a city, you know, a city, and just give you an example. They had a swimming pool in 66, and then we went back in 2005 and did an inspection, and we can't find the swimming pool because there's not one there anymore.
Right.
So that puts them out of compliance, and we got to figure out how to get them back into compliance. So we found a lot of things that is very, very funny.
Well, you know, and local governments are transitory in that you know, one, you have a mayor 1 year and a new mayor, then the new mayor, and they don't remember what the obligations were at the time that a grant was made. And as my recollection is that those properties that are acquired with Land and Water Conservation Fund have to be maintained as outdoor recreation areas.
Well, it's my old saying is, when we go to and do our grant workshops and things like that, you know, we talk about perpetuity. People don't understand that word very well, but this is the best way I can explain it to you, how I try to get it over.
The word is perpetuity.
Yes.
Right, okay.
And this is how I can explain it, where everybody stands it and understands it. It is to be a park forever and ever and ever, and one day after the world explodes. At that point, we don't care.
Right.
But that's what it's supposed to be at. Now, there are processes that they have that we can change it over through a conversion process.
Sure, sure.
But that property and the value of that property at today's market, not when it was built in 65, but today's market, has got to be replaced.
There's a process for
There's a process for
it.
Now, we do those also as part of that our staff does. We have a staff person on that is, as part of their duties, is the conversion process. We have a panel that they have to present that to make sure that it's for recreational use and that they're following the guidelines and the steps. And then we forward our recommendations to MPS to get their blessings on it and say yes or no.
Right.
And if they say no, it's no. It's not going to happen.
So you're also responsible for the state comprehensive recreation plan. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
And that's every 5 years, and we have to have that. And in doing that, that keeps us eligible for LWCF dollars.
Right.
If we don't have the state rec plan, that plan, we no longer get federal dollars.
Right.
So it has to, we have to send that in to MPS, and we're going through that right now.
That's what I was going to ask you. What is the status of that?
We're going through that right now. We've let an RFP on this, and we've gotten back the response, and now we're going through the process of looking at what we can do. And
okay, so you're trying to hire a consultant to assist you with this process?
We are, to do that. Okay. And they will be the ones in charge of this. We'll do some things in it, but they will be actually the ones that will be in charge of making that happen. They have to conduct so many public meetings through the time. They have to do analysis of different things. They have to do an inventory of facilities and that. But once this is all done, the SCORP is completed, and our OPSP, which is the let's go back to SCORP. SCORP is the State Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan.
Right.
And then the OPS is OPSP is that's our scoring opportunity for that plan. So when we do the plan, we get it in. We have a process that we score every grant by. We don't give the money away just to give it away. You've got to go through a process, an application process, to get the money.
Right.
But the scoring criteria is required for this, and we have to follow that scoring criteria.
Right.
And the grantee also has to follow that. She has to provide the information for get those points for that. So we're in that process right now.
So the in doing the State Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan, you're engaging a consultant. Now, is this consultant like a university that's going to be doing this, or who are the consultant type people that are?
Okay, so I'm going to go back to when we did it in the last time we met.
Okay,
and we hired a consulting firm outside the state, and he partnered with the University of Tennessee to provide some statistics and stuff and do some surveying and stuff and things of that nature. And then he compiled all the information throughout all the meetings and everything else. Yes, we would love to go to a university that can do this and offer them that opportunity. We only have X number of dollars to spend on this.
Right.
I think our liability this last time on this one here was $250,000 to provide all the activities and provide the comprehensive the state outdoor comprehensive.
So if a listener was interested in that planning process, where would they plug in to get information about the public meetings and that sort of thing?
Okay, so if when we get ready and we start, of course, it'll be on our webpage.
Okay,
but it also will be through the state's webpage, through the comptroller's webpage, or the CPO's webpage about it.
Okay.
So there's other ways to find out in that, but that's basically it. Or they can give me a call in my office, and I can give them the information.
Right.
We're doing that process.
So you think that those public meetings will be starting in the next few months, or when do you?
Well, we've had a hiccup. So we're holding back that hiccup right now and trying to work through.
Say what you mean about that. I don't understand.
Well, we got the proposal, and the proposal is $535,000, and we only have $250,000. So that's
a
hiccup.
Okay,
a big hiccup.
I do understand what you mean.
Yeah. So we're looking at how we can try to reduce the cost of that. We do have a timeline, but it's going to be after this timeline.
Right.
But I'm going to say it probably no public input meetings or anything else will happen within the next 4 to 5 months.
Okay.
It'll probably be
springtime. Yeah.
Springtime of next year.
Okay.
We advertise through the newspaper that we're going to have, and we've picked places out throughout the state of Tennessee to maybe a couple of places in West Tennessee, a couple of places in East, and a couple of places in Middle Tennessee.
I'll tell you what, Gerald, if you'll make a note to let me know when those are happening, I'll make sure that we post those on our website so that our listeners will be able to know.
I'll be glad to. And again, we use the local newspaper. We have our internal team that does news articles and stuff like that. We'll be posting out to local governments that in that region that we're doing public input meetings for the state outdoor recreation plan.
Right.
In that and we had I'll never forget the one we had at Farragut many years ago. Well, 10 years ago. We had
the
one
public meeting up there.
We did.
Okay.
And so we're using Farragut City Hall in their auditorium. And I guess it holds probably 130 people in their building. And so Ann and Joyce and myself and the team all showed up, and there were 300 kids up there that were playing field hockey.
Okay.
And they come in their uniforms and everything, so we need field hockey facilities and stuff like that. You know, and we were all rattled because here's all these kids coming in with that type of stuff.
With sticks, with nets.
And you know, were they going to beat us to death or was it going to? But you know, we want to do what the public wants.
Sure.
One of our goals is not, as you said earlier, mayors changing from time to time to time.
Right.
The state government is not making it mandatory, but it's coming about state recreation plans for or master plans for local governments. It's wanting the involvement of getting those involved into this, and not, and I don't mean this as ugly, but putting right. money in a dark hole.
Right.
They're wanting people to be accountable. So we're doing for the economical distress communities that we've been talking about, which Governor Lee has recognized 16 of those counties. We're doing master plans for those counties to do that. So we're
So tell us more about that. Now I've seen in newspaper reporting about the rural initiative
right.
that the governor has.
Right.
Absolutely, incredibly good idea to do. Mm-hmm. Support it. I seems like in my mind's eye, I have, for instance, Cock County is maybe one of those counties.
Cock County is one of them.
Newport has a park and recreation
it does.
Program.
It does.
So, are you working with them?
Well, yes, okay. we are. And Cock County was done in the last. During Governor Haslund's end,
okay.
he had recognized. Let me go back to Governor Haslund for a minute.
Okay.
So in 17, Governor Haslund picked out 16 counties that was economical distress at that point. Well, we offered an opportunity to do planning, recreational planning grants for those 17, 16 counties, or how many it was, I don't forgot. And we had all but six of them to take that planning grant and do so. In doing that, we've done a 10-year master plan, and it's in Parks and Recreation. It ain't where it's going to be where I'm at today and where I want to be at in 10 years. And you know how a master plan works.
Sure.
And most of listening. So we did that in 17 when Governor Haslund did, and then when Governor Lee came in, he sent executive order number one out, was to help the economical distress communities. Well, like this 16 counties, there's a couple of counties that we did that's not no longer economical distress and this. Well, we've reached out to those people and want to do the master plan for that. Now, they're providing 15% of the match, and
okay.
we're providing 85% of the grant. We've set a price. We did an RFQ and RFP and said this is the maximum amount we'll pay for their master plan. So we've had engineering companies or A&E companies
that's
already done.
Okay.
So this is
okay.
in place. Now we're waiting for the application process to come for them to submit the application. We let the communities pick out who they want. We've got a list of five firms that qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a presentation in front of the A&E firms are doing a presentation in front of the ones that we've picked out. And then the county is picking out the firms that they want to do their plan.
So how was that worked out? Is it when these plans have been done and have these counties then, I'm sure there's some that have done better than others, but what's the outcome?
Well, so far, of the 17 that we've done, we actually ended up with 20 the first year. Of the 20 that we've done, I could say they'd be very successful because it gave them a roadmap of what we're going to help them do.
Okay.
And to reach that roadmap, to reach the end of that road.
Right. So the grant money would be
the
there
grant
for,
money would
for
be
facilities
there.
And that sort of
It'd
thing.
It would be there.
Right.
But we don't want a new mayor comes in, the mayor's already got the roadmap.
Sure.
So when you update the master plan, things are going to move up because of demographics.
Right.
And that being done that way is it allows us to get more friendly with the city and say, this is what's next on the list. This is what we want to go with that to make that end make that end of the road seem a better place.
Well, you're building relationships, and that's the key, because you've got to sow the seeds out there for something to happen.
And again, we look at the rural economical distress communities and look at them and say, there's ways that we've got to help them meet their match. There's ways that we've got to be creative for the match to be met. And there's ways that we can do things to help them out. We have another grant program that very few people use, and we try to utilize. And we're trying to change it in law this year or next year, where it'll be better for them.
Okay.
And it's called TRIP, Tennessee Recreation Initiative Program.
Okay.
What this does is this hires a Parks and Recreation Director for them. And in the first 2 years, and this is some of the parts that we're trying to change, the first 2 years they get X number of dollars, and then the third year they're on their own.
Right.
And after that, if they don't want to do it, they've met their obligation.
Right.
What we're trying to do and change is make it a six-year program.
Okay.
And being a six-year program, we can take it, and we want to pay for all of it the first year to get them on their feet. In the second year, we're going to start weaning them off. So we're going to do 80%, they're going to do 20%. The next year, it's going to be a downgrade, and then at the end of the sixth year, they get responsible for it all, and we're not. So this weans them down, and it doesn't hit them with all the money all at one time.
So do you have some potential applicants for
that?
Oh,
yes. Okay. Yes, we have several communities, several counties throughout the state, and through economical distress counties throughout the state that would love to get into this program, but we don't want them to get into it right now because we're trying to make it better.
Yeah, you want
to
make
those changes and make it better for them.
Makes.
And where it's going to help them in the long run, because in today's world, it's hard to find a person or a recreation person for $35,000-$40,000.
Sure.
And then we're going to give them an opportunity.
You would, yeah.
And we're going to give them an opportunity to hire somebody to help them. And we're going to give them an opportunity to develop our office and this with this money that we're talking about doing now.
We want somebody good in a situation like that. We want a professional person. Yeah.
That's just part of it.
Right.
We don't want somebody. I mean, I was hired. I was not a professional person, but I became a professional person.
Right.
And I went to college, got my degree.
Right.
I got my CPRP, my CPSI, and that. So
those are professional credentials in the Parks and Recreation field.
They
right.
are,
right.
And so those are things that we want. We want professional people to do that. We require them to do training. We require them to get so much training. We help them with their training and things of that nature to develop that program. But that's a program that we're really working on and we really want to push on.
Years ago, I had a friend that worked at the Tennessee Economic Development Department. And we sat down, the two of us, and this was 81 or 82. And we took the incidences of new plant openings in Tennessee over the 5 year period, and how many of those, there was also a local park and recreation department in that community, mm-hmm. and it was like a 90% relationship. Mm-hmm. So, people that are wanting to invest in communities and build new plants and build job opportunities in communities are looking for communities that have something to offer. And having that local recreation and parks department there is a key element.
I can actually say this, that we'll take Volkswagen, for instance.
Volkswagen in Chattanooga.
In Chattanooga, for instance. Volkswagen didn't come to Chattanooga just because it was Chattanooga. The Volkswagen came to Chattanooga for, number one, was the workforce availability, and number two, the educational availability, and number three was the leisurely service availability, because they said, and we heard the president of Volkswagen say this, is that we want a happy workforce. And we can't get a happy workforce if there's not opportunities within that to happen. So that's one of the things. But now recreation has moved up to the number two spot.
Tell me more.
Well, you know, they did a survey here not long ago, and they talked about, and that is they're looking for, you know, workers, educated workers, because the workforce now has to be educated. And then they're looking around at the opportunities for the for these people to be able to be happy, productive employees. I mean, you've dealt with employees before. If they're not happy, they're not working.
True.
And so that's what these communities are looking for. And they want communities to, I mean, they want their workers to live in that community.
Right.
And that, so.
I guess the reality too is, Gerald, that some of these rural counties that are distressed are remote places. I mean, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. for instance, of Hawkins County and Sneedville, Tennessee.
They're not going to get a Volkswagen.
No, and it's a difficult place to locate a plant or an economic opportunity, just from a physical geography perspective.
But that's where we have to look at other things,
right?
And other things are outdoor recreation opportunities. Other things are tourism. You know, we can look at Hawkins County and we got the river in Hawkins County where the movie was made.
Sure, it's beautiful.
And there's other things in there to draw people to. Cock County the same way.
Right.
I mean, there's Hawkins County, Hancock County, Scott County. Scott County has got OVH parks up there and things of that nature. So we're trying to help with their tourism, and the Department of Tourism is also trying to help them develop things that can draw people into the communities. And that's what we can also do by providing opportunities for parks and recreation.
Fantastic. So, Gerald, we're going to need to wind this up here just a little bit.
Okay.
Let me ask you, what's on the horizon in the next few years for you and for the Division of Parks?
Well, you know, with the present funding that we're getting, especially with local parks and recreation dollars, funds coming in, we're going to be able to expand the recreational field in as far as parks are concerned. One of my goals is before I retire, and that's not going to be far down the road, is that I would like to see every county in the state have a parks and recreation planning grant. I would love to see that. That's a goal that I would like to see done. And not just for the professionalism of having something here for them to build on. If we can build on those planning grants, and if we can make the mayors and the citizens understand they're part of that community, and this is what the community wants. It's not what the mayor wants. It's not what Gerald wants. It's not what anybody else wants. This is what the citizens of the county want. If we can make people buy into that and understand that to move forward, we got to do this. It might not be a big hiccup for having a tax increase for a nickel or something of that nature to be able to develop the systems that we're trying to develop.
Well, you know, Gerald, I was thinking of Selmer, Tennessee, in the McNary County,
mm-hmm.
going there one day and talking to, they had like 14 municipalities in that county.
There is.
I mean, it was some of them very, very small. I'm thinking of the town of Finger,
and those sorts
of little places.
Right.
And there's really no way in the world that a town that small can do much from a park and recreation standpoint.
Yeah.
But on a consolidated basis, countywide,
they can.
And so I think that's the kind of planning that these communities need to be doing.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Right.
And by the way, don't go to Finger and say Finger. It is Finger.
Finger.
Yeah. So don't they'll look at you like you don't belong in this part of the county.
And that's near near Pocahontas, Tennessee.
That's Pocahontas,
I think.
Yeah, up there. And there's others there. You know, you would not recognize McNary County now.
I've not been there in a long time.
Well, from their park system when you were involved, you would not recognize
the money
has been spent in the last couple of years to develop.
It was a pitiful thing back in the day.
And Hardeman County the same way. Haywood County the same way. You wouldn't recognize some of these counties. that have progressed above and beyond Savannah, Tennessee, Hardin County. Yeah, you know, and then we go up to Parrish. There's a lot of them in West Tennessee.
Making
a lot
progress.
Of them that's making progress.
Absolutely.
It's hard for them to make progress because of the tax base. One of the things that we're preaching on the team, and I'm talking about, I'm on the economical, not the economical, but the distressed team of that TDEC has got. We've been to four of those places, for those economical distress communities, and we stand here and we look, and the thing that we look at is the population base, how it's decreased in the last 10 years. Well, if there's nothing there to keep the people there, if there's nothing there to keep our children there, those folks are going to go away. And that's what we've got to stop.
It's a cycle of being distressed,
isn't it? It's what
we've
got to stop. Yeah. We've got to stop my grandkids from leaving Brewston Hollow Rock. We've got to come up with something that's going to keep them there. I don't care if it's industry. I don't care if it's schools. I don't care about it. We've got to make something. We've got to develop something to help those communities stay alive. And they can't stay alive if the citizens are moving from their communities, as simple as that.
Especially the youngest talented children.
It is. And it's so difficult to make some type of people understand that we're dying on the vine,
right?
And we've got to energize that vine. We've got to give that vine a shot of fertilizer, and make them understand how important it is to provide services to keep our children.
Well, you know, it's the best and the brightest of those communities that leave.
Yes,
oftentimes, yes. Not all the time, yes. Certainly, but yes. You know, you send a child from Brewston off to the university and gets a degree. There's nothing there in Brewston. So there has to be something there for them.
Yeah. And that's what we're saying. And that's what we're really trying to do with our master plans and things of this nature, is provide something there for just not kids, for young adults.
Sure. Sure.
For the medium adults and for us old senior citizens.
Right.
Recreation has changed. And you have to go back and look. When we first started in this field, if it didn't have BALL on it, it wasn't recreation.
Right.
Well, there's more to recreation today than it's ever been in this life. If somebody would have told me, and I say this story a lot, if somebody would have told me 40 years ago that I would have enjoyed getting out and working in my flower beds and working in my yard, I'd ask them what they were smoking, because it's that. But that's part of the recreation that I have. If somebody would have told me I would like to get out and walk with my dog and things like that, but it has changed so much, and it's diversified, and it's gotten big. It's gotten big, and there's been money made in some of the departments and some of the bigger cities. And things of that nature because of that.
People doing all kinds of programs.
It is.
And yoga
is.
And
yes.
And ceramics.
Whoever
and
heard
arts
of,
and all that.
Yoga. Who's ever heard of yoga? I'm just saying that's
right.
A word that we never even heard of when we were growing up.
Right, of course.
And now it's a big thing.
It's a thing that's happening all over in recreation and parks, not just in the big cities, but it's
everywhere.
Happening
Everybody's
in the rural
wanting to exercise.
Areas.
You know, healthy living right now is a big push for everybody.
Exactly.
And we're trying to provide with the Department of Health ways to stay healthy. Well, developing trail systems, developing park systems, developing this and that.
Yep.
So, I mean, we've got our hands full. We'll continue to have our hands full for a while, but you know it's a pleasure in doing the job. The most rewarding thing I can say about this is, we go to a community that has nothing, and I mean literally has nothing, and develop a park system that has something. And they have an opportunity. We went to a little community in Henderson County and put a $350,000 total ADA accessible for special needs children in that community. And it stays packed every day.
And they're proud of it, too.
Yes, they are.
Pride.
And they take care of it.
Yeah.
We don't have to go back and see the swing set
right.
Tore up, because they take care of it.
Right.
They've got people there to monitor. that's the blessing for us. That's what is, and my heart's in the smaller communities, and my whole staff's that way. And we want to see those communities thrive and get better and better and better.
Gerald, thank you so much for coming in, and congratulations to you on all you're doing.
Well, I thank you for inviting me. I wish we could have done this earlier. We could probably have had two or three more of us since then.
Well, I want to have you back, and I want to get some of your staff back to talk to them as well.
And I'd like for you to do that.
You have a star-filled group of people that are working with you. I've known for many, many years. George came with you today.
Yes, George came with me today.
And I've known some of the others that you have, and you've got a great cast of professional people that are working with you.
And you know, you're only good as the people that you have surrounding you.
I couldn't agree more.
And I agree with you 110%. I have a wonderful staff. I have people that go above and beyond. And we enjoy what we do. If we didn't, we'd be looking for something else.
Thank you, Gerald, for coming by.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Bubba. Uh-huh.